This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, TV critic for the New York Daily News, sitting in for Terry Gross. We're continuing our week visiting with great singers who write great songs. Today, we're featuring Andre Benjamin, a.k.a. Andre 3000. He's half of the duo Outkast, recently described in the New York Times as the biggest-selling and most critically adored hip-hop act of the last decade. Their 2003 double album, Speakerbox The Love Below, which included the hit Hey Ya, sold 11 million copies and won 3 Grammys. Andre's partner in Outkast, Antoine Patton, a.k.a. Big Boy, is a rapper. Andre sings as well as raps and draws on funk, pop, punk, and jazz. There's an exuberance and sense of fun in a lot of his music, and even in the way he dresses, which ranges from elegant to outrageous. In 2004, Esquire named him the world's best-dressed man. A few years ago, Andre crossed over to acting. Most recently, along with Big Boy, he made the film Idlewild, which is now out on DVD. Terry spoke with Andre earlier this year. Here's one of the songs from the movie.
Andre Benjamin from the film Idlewild. Is this the kind of song that you would have written yourself if it wasn't for this movie?
Yes and no. Believe it or not, that song is about 6 years old.
Really?
And yeah, originally it was a guitar-based song, and it was kind of just me and the beat playing a guitar. And I had some of the lyrics even 5 years ago, and when we were doing this movie, I thought it worked perfectly. And so I had to change the production a little bit and make it more piano-based because electric guitars, I mean, they were invented back then, but they weren't really where they are now. And I added a second and third verse, and Big Boy, you know, came on and put his thing on and make it what it is now. So, yes, I mean, even the lyric, you know, ain't nobody like my style. You know, I like my fire, they blow it out. You know, that was something that Andre 3000 was actually feeling, you know, 5 years ago before the movie came about. So it just so happened that when the movie came around, Percival was going through the same thing that Andre 3000 was going through. So it made total sense. And just the singing style was different because the way I sang it before, it wouldn't work for 1930. So, you know, by listening to a lot of Cab Calloway things, you know, it was like big voice, big throat, like huge production, horns, you know. And so I just made it into what it is now.
I love the way you talk about Andre 3000 as if he were a person that you knew, you know?
Well, I know him sometimes, you know.
He's your persona for the band Outkast. So how do you see Andre 3000 as compared to yourself, Andre Benjamin?
I guess if you can imagine, like if you're a kid and you're in the mirror and you're playing dress up and you're this other character, and as soon as your mom walks in, you change back into that person. And so Andre Benjamin was the kid that sat there and said, hey, what can I play? And he's in the mirror and he's putting on his cowboy and Indian suit. Once he puts on his outfits or once he starts to play and get into his kind of fun head, he's Andre 3000. You know, so Andre 3000 is that character within Outkast that kind of just goes there and has a ball, you know, does his thing. Andre Benjamin is, you know, the person that goes to Whole Foods, you know, that goes to the mall, you know, goes to the dry cleaners, you know, pumps gas, you know. That's my mama name. My mama gave me that name, Andre Lauren Benjamin.
One of the things that you have to learn as an actor is how to project vulnerability, because there are roles you're going to play in which you're vulnerable, and that's certainly the case in some scenes in Idlewild, for example. And vulnerability is in some ways exactly the kind of thing that a lot of rappers try to not express. Rappers on the whole, I mean, I think a lot of rappers try to maintain a very tough and hardened persona.
Right.
So I'm wondering, was there a transition for you of exposing more vulnerability both in your music and in your acting?
Yeah. I think, not just in rap, in life, period. When I started off, we were just, straight street rappers, and I do understand where it comes from. A lot of actors have a lot of music guys or rappers have a hard time, getting rid of this character that they've built up, their whole career. And I don't think it's a thing of, them pretending or trying to be hard to put on. But it's like the street life, it won't allow you to show, that soft side because, you'll get trampled, just in the street. And so you have to kind of toughen up or man up in a certain kind of way. And if you've built your whole career on letting people know, that I don't play, and you have to get into a character that does play or that does let other emotions come out, that may be a hard step. But even before I started doing film, in life, I knew I had to take my music other places because once again, I got bored with doing the same thing. So I got deeper and deeper into my music. And when I got deeper and deeper into my music, I had to expose certain sides of myself. And even when you look at Speaker Box and the Love Below was just that. That was the meaning of the Love Below. Like on the top of a man, you have this kind of hard shell or this kind of, I'm tough and nothing can hurt me. But the love below is those feelings that every man feels when he goes home, and he thinks about these things, and he thinks about his life. He thinks about his woman. He thinks about his kid. And there's no room to be tough there.
Well, OK, so you were saying that, in your CD, The Love Below, that means the person beneath the tough veneer and the emotions beyond that tough exterior.
Right.
So let me play like the really big hit from this, which is Hey Ya, your song. And this song is like so much fun. And I guess fun is one of the things that would not be good if you're trying to have that really tough exterior. Yes?
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because in the Hey Ya video, I had a lot of fun doing it, and you can see a lot of smiles, And I got a lot of feedback from just that alone, A lot of DJs and a lot of people on the street, they were like, man, that's cool, but like, I ain't seen a rapper smile in a long time, And I think smiling is powerful, come on, God gave you teeth, he gave you lips, he gave you emotions. Come on, smile now. You ain't tough 24/7. That's just not true. If you want to keep it real. Now, that's keeping it real.
Well, before we hear Hey Ya, would you just talk a little bit about putting this together, like writing the song? You play all of the instruments except bass on it, I think.
Right.
So can you talk about like conceiving the record and, conceiving the song and then the music happening behind the song?
With Hey Ya, it was pretty much just me at home with my guitar, and I was playing these chords over and over and over again. I'm not a great guitar player, so these were some of the first chords that I ever learned. And, during that time, I was into a lot of garage, a lot of punk music, and I was just going for it. And so this was my interpretation of what I thought those sounds were. And the lyrics, usually, they start from me messing around on my guitar playing, and I'll just start to kind of baby talk lyrics, and I usually record myself on a micro cassette recorder. And so, I'll be, and then I'll listen to it back and damn near translate what I'm saying, like I almost have to decode my Yippity app, and that's what comes out, my baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and that's what came out, and it just starts to make sense after a while. And then I came back 3 years later working on the Speaker Box Love Below album and came back with the second verse. And then the, Polaroid part, that was kind of just a freestyle, actually, in the studio. And Beyonce's video was on the screen when I was doing the song. I forget which video it was, but I thought it was an amazing video, and she was showing plenty of attitude. And so that's how she crept her way into the song. You know, when it says, now Beyoncé's and Lucy Liu's, those were actually commercials or scenes that were on the TV when I was in the vocal booth. And they crept their way into the song.
So you're describing how you speak in almost, you know, like baby talk when you're first writing
right.
the melody for the song. Is the hey ya part of the original baby talk?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Yes. And that's probably why it's hey ya, because I really didn't have any words, so you just hey ya, you know.
Well, it works, doesn't it?
and then you fine tune it, and you know it's saying hey ya. It's kind of like really listening to another language, and then you listen back to it and say, oh, okay, now what is he saying? What is he saying? And then you make it out. You know, you've been a translator, and that's what happens. A lot of people get the song mistaken. They say, oh man, I love that Hey Now song. Like, well, it's Hey Ya.
Well, here it is. And this is Andre Benjamin from the Outkast album Speaker Box, The Love Below.
1, 2, 3, My baby don't mess around because she loves me so.
Hey Ya! We'll have more with Andre Benjamin after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to Terry's interview from earlier this year with Andre Benjamin. As Andre 3000, he's half of the hip-hop duo Outkast.
Now, I read two things about your schooling. One was that you went to a performing arts high school, a magnet school, and the other is the one you went to a school for kids who were in trouble. So
right.
Is either or both of those true?
Yep, that is true. I went to Sutton Middle School. And that I tried out for the drama troupe, and we put on stage plays in middle school. And then I went to high school at Tri-Cities, which was a performing arts school, and that's where I met Big Boy. And they had the drama class, and, you know, they had all these extra classes that were fun, you know, fun classes. But when I got to high school, that's when I made the transition from living with my mom to living with my dad. And my dad, you know, he's never had me, you know, wholly, where he's kind of like the only protector, the only person in the house. So I was kind of mischievous, and I pretend like I was going to school, but I actually wasn't going. And so I got kicked out of normal school, and they sent me to an alternative school. And that's where it's a school where people that are not doing the things they're supposed to be doing go. And so, yeah, both of those things are true. So it's kind of like I got influences from both sides. You know, you go to a performing arts school and you're doing this drama thing and you're doing music and you're doing talent shows. But then on the other end, you know, you're at the school where it's fights and, you know, it's pregnant girls and it's people carrying pistols and all this kind of stuff. So it's kind of like kind of crazy, but I mean, I guess that's all in what makes you, and all your experiences make you that person.
Well, you know, we've talked a lot about how you have these different personas. Did you have different personas for the performing arts school and a different one for the school with all, you know, like the tough kids carrying pistols and stuff? I mean, did you have to be a different person in each of those schools?
No, not at all. It was kind of crazy. It was like a culture clash because, I mean, I was living in, you know, I guess what you would call the lower housing part of Atlanta, you know, off of Bankhead. And my mom was smart enough to send me to a school in Buckhead, which is kind of like the best part of Atlanta, or like the rich part of town, where, you know, I was going to school with kind of like the mayor's kids and, you know, the commissioner's son and, you know, I guess the affluent of Atlanta. And it's funny because we all got along in a cool kind of way, and it was different experiences. So I'm coming home, you know, and I'm listening to Too Short and Kilo and N.W.A. and Eric B. and Rakim. Then I get to school and I'm listening to NXS and Depeche Mode, you know, you know, that type of thing, you know, Duran, you know, Bad Brains and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, it's cool because I think any kid, I think you need to get out of where you are all the time. I think traveling and knowing different cultures or knowing, mm-hmm. you know, different parts of life, I think it helps you. I mean, because you become more. I mean, if you're in the hood 24/7, that's all you know. And I mean, people can't really blame you because that's all you know. So that's what you're going to come out like. But if you travel the world, or if you go to a different part of town, or like, okay, like I'm leaving the hood and I'm going to my school, and like one of my best friends was Andre, you know, his family, they're from France. So I'm spending the night over their house and, you know, speaking French, and they showing me all this type of different kind of food. And I had another homeboy named Ashok Shaw, you know, his family was East Indian, you know, so I'm going up to their house and I'm in their prayer circles, and, you know, we're doing things I wouldn't normally do at home. So I'm getting to see other parts of life, you know, which is cool, you know.
You're a father. You have a son who's like 9 or something now. Is that about right?
Yep. He'll be 9 November 18th.
And his mother is Erykah Badu, the singer. And you separated a while ago. And you've said that you gave up drugs and drinking and all that when you were about to become a father, and never looked back on that. You have a song, one of the really popular Outkast songs, called "Sorry, Miss Jackson," which I believe is dedicated to your son's maternal grandmother.
Right.
Can you talk about writing the song and why you want, like, what message you wanted to send her and why?
Well, let me just go back a little bit. I actually stopped drinking and smoking and all that type of stuff years before. I had a child, and years before I even met Erykah. So it was kind of like a life decision, because I was kind of just going too hard and too fast, you know, with the beginnings of Outkast. But the song "Miss Jackson," like, I've always heard songs about, you know, baby mama songs, but I thought it would be cool to do a song about how a baby's mama felt about you, because you always wonder, you know, does her mom like me, you know, or, man, how does she feel, you know, that I've come into her daughter's life and then I'm not there anymore. And so, I mean, that was the approach of the song. And then I was in the studio working on the track with the, had a beat going, and I started playing these chords on the keyboard, and I started singing the lyrics that I had at home to this beat, and it worked perfectly. So it was kind of like melting the two together.
Did you actually apologize to your son's mother's mother for the pregnancy?
Well, no, I didn't. I really didn't. I mean, I don't know if it was one. I can't say if it was one deserved or not, but I mean, we make a joke about it now. You know, when I see a mom, you know, when the song was out, she would say, "You owe me publishing, you know, for this song, you know." But no, it wasn't like a formal, "Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Wright." Her name is Miss Wright, but I thought Miss Jackson, the syllable sounded better. And I thought people knew more Jacksons than Wrights. So.
Well, Andre Benjamin, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Andre Benjamin, a.k.a. Andre 3000, speaking to Terry Gross earlier this year. He's half of the hip-hop duo Outkast, and his latest film, Idlewild, has just been released on DVD. I'm David Biancooley, and this is Fresh Air.